Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game time decisions.
And the news keeps coming in here in the National Football League. Per source, Stacey Dales is actually pretty hot.
Stacey Dales Schumann from Brockville.
Yeah, she's
star at the Oklahoma Lady Sooners.
I like her.
Yeah, she's actually really good.
Stacey Dales reports Jordy Nelson's been released by the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, my God.
Over under 5 minutes before he signs with the New England Patriots. They lose Amendola to Miami.
Yeah,
Amendola goes to Miami. They replace him with a new wide receiver.
Sounds
Jordy Nelson. I guarantee this.
Yeah. Aren't they?
No, I guarantee.
Guarantee Patriots.
Oh, yeah. Jordy Nelson. Yeah, dude, he's going to go.
What they say, going after Jimmy Graham as well?
That's annoying.
Yeah, is that what the Green Bay Packers are doing? Oh, my God.
Yeah, the Green Bay. Jimmy Graham, yeah, it's official.
It's official? Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, that was on the table.
Yikes.
It's a nice. I don't know, though. You know, what does Jordy Nelson have left in him, man? The guy's good, but he's always hurt.
He's been around for
and
a long
Florio,
time.
Florio, you know this from a fantasy perspective. You can't trust this guy anymore in a season long team. You just can't do it.
No.
Let's bring in Big Man on Campus. Oh, are you there, Florio?
What's going on?
I thought he was just about to say something.
Me too.
All right. His audio's cutting in.
Okay. No problem.
Yeah, we're not throwing it to you anymore, Florio.
It's funny you mentioned that. I have Jordy Nelson in a keeper league, so now decisions happen.
Well, he might. You know, when he goes to the Patriots, he's going to catch like a million passes in the slot now.
Yeah, it depends.
Let's bring in a Big Man on Campus, who's been crushing the college basketball hardwood all year, and he's just he has just been signed by the Philadelphia Eagles. They're looking for a tight end, Big Man. Do you think you can handle the load?
I think I can. I would definitely love to play for my hometown team. Yes. I actually have a walkthrough tomorrow. We're going to do a little me and Carson. He's going to sit in his wheelchair. He's going to throw to me. Yeah, we're going to be good.
Yeah.
I thought Big Man's more of a lineman like me, Gabe.
Big Man, there's going to be a movie. There's going to be a movie, Invincible 2,
with
Jeff Nadeau.
It rhymes.
The Jeff Nadeau story. Yeah, I was a lifelong Eagles fan. When they won the Super Bowl, the last thing I ever thought was to be suiting up for them next year. But, you know, here I am.
Actually, I used to live right down the street from the bar that they filmed that at. One of the bars is literally a block north. So
how true is it? How accurate is that story?
It's accurate as far as the person, but Vince Papale never lived in South Philadelphia ever. He was from Delaware County. So
okay, so he's not really a local. Yeah.
Right. The whole movie was kind of drummed up because South Philly was way more interesting than crummy Delaware County, you know?
What was that other movie where Tony Danza was the garbage man and kicker, the Philadelphia garbage man kicker?
Yeah,
remember that one?
I remember that movie, when I was real young, Garbage field goal kicking phenomenon or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. He was a garbage man and the Eagles kicker on the side.
Man, the Eagles, you guys like the movies,
they
right?
sure do.
He actually wore like a work boot. That's how he kicked.
He's actually a high school teacher now.
Danza?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
He is the boss.
He'll soon be packing heat, but that's another story.
Yeah.
So, Big Man, over under on Jordy Nelson signing with the Patriots. You know, the Packers just let him go like a half hour ago. Yeah, I imagine he's already on the phone. You go from Aaron Rodgers to Tom Brady. I mean, the New England Patriots like white wide receivers, like the Kardashian, like black basketball players.
Very true.
A lot.
And, you know, he'll get signed within an hour, and he'll never get injured again. He'll probably be, like, one of the best receivers ever. You know, he'll be fine. Yeah. I would say in an hour.
It's true. It's the magic touch. Ever since Victor Kiam from Remington, like, sold the team and Robert Kraft got involved, like these guys can't do any wrong, even though you guys knocked them down.
Victor Kiam, he was the one that said, I like the team so much
I bought them. Yeah, Victor Kiam, Remington Shavers. That's right.
Yeah, the guy, Big Man, used to be Remington. the old like electric shavers used to be big. Yeah, and he did the old. I liked the Remington so much I bought them.
Exactly.
I already bought the Patriots. I liked the team so much I bought them.
They were horrible when he owned them.
Yeah, Victor Kiam.
Now look at them.
I know.
He was a hustler.
He sure was.
You see, Kraft's 38-year-old friend had a baby.
I know. Friend.
How old is he now? In his 70s. What a guy, man. What a guy.
It's probably like really like Gronkowski's baby. Yeah.
Sorry. That's a good one. Gronk's baby.
Well, Kraft,
baby Gronk.
You know, big man, like Kraft can't get it up and stuff.
Right,
and Gronk,
hey, Gronk
in.
Help me out.
I'll handle it, sir. I'll handle it. You know what I mean?
Count me in there, Kraft.
Also, speaking of Gronk, guys, and this is another thing, how the Patriots really, nothing ever bad happens to them. I don't know if you guys ever saw this, but have you guys ever seen when Rob Gronkowski was at that, it was like one of those, I think it might have been for David Ortiz. It was like a roast of some sort. And they basically had Gronk on stage, and he was just spouting off all these Jewish jokes and racial jokes. And it was never picked up by anyone. I don't know how. But I feel like why wasn't that
pass.
Picked up at all?
He gets a free pass for everything.
Because
he
like
could
that,
step
that,
in.
That,
well, even look.
He stepped on the guy. He could have crippled the guy.
Every other athlete goes out for a drink, smokes a bong, big man. You ever notice it's like the end of the world. People freak out. Rob Gronkowski, like you said, the guy's crushing like beers on floats. He's got like 13 naked chicks around him. Like, look at Elliot. Elliot goes to Mardi Gras. Oh, look at him. He's with naked chicks on a float. Rob Gronkowski goes on a cruise with a bunch of bimbos, and people are like, he's so cool.
Yep.
You know, he's so cool.
Different strokes for different folks. You said it.
Yeah. All right. So let's jump into some college basketball.
I'm going to go out on a limb and I wonder why.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Good point.
Let's jump in here, big man. What's the tip off? Is it 6:40 Eastern?
Yeah,
6:40. Yes, that was when we get it all going here. A couple hours.
6:40 Eastern. So we were talking Malinsky earlier. This seems to be a classic case. You know, the so-called sharps jump in on Radford here. How much do you buy into the RPI stuff, big man? And, you know, do you look at that stuff? I mean, the fact is, if we're looking at RPI, Long Islander like 251 or something, and what's Radford like 100? I think it was 150 or whatever it was. Radford played a tougher schedule. All the metrics and numbers point, but it's up to 6 points right now. This isn't the best LIU basketball team, but this is a classic case, big man, of up-tempo against a team that wants to slow it down. So what's your take on this one?
Yeah, I think it's a fascinating game. And you look at a game like this, I just, you know, and to answer your question, LAU Brooklyn does have their schedule's not as good for sure. But I look at, you know, it's really a clash in styles kind of game, but I think LAU is the better team. I actually wondered with this number why they were a favorite to begin with, Radford. I think as far as rankings, I think they're the worst team in this tournament. I don't think they have any business here, and the only reason they have business here is because a redshirt freshman hit a three against a better team in a great atmosphere.
Yeah.
But you have to wonder, I mean, are they just happy to be here? LAU's a team that's been here before. They made the tournament 2 years ago. They actually went and beat Wagner in Wagner as a 9-point underdog outright. I mean, this is a team that knows what they're doing. They're well-coached under Derek Kellogg. They press. They know how to handle presses, and Radford will press, Gabe, but their goal is to limit transition and make you play in the half court. I still think LAU is good enough in the half court. I think they'll find a way to win. As far as the number moving, people ask me this all the time. I bet this at 3.5 on Sunday because I thought it was a good number, and then it goes up to 6. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell you why. I guess sharps like Radford, but Gabe, you know, I think I'm just as sharp as anyone else. So I'm confident where I'm at. I think they'll win LAU.
Sharp's a relative term. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. Because you gamble. You're a sharp? No. What sharp is? When you win money consistently gambling. I have a real problem with sharps and squares.
That's one of the things that I hate the most when these handicapper guys, and some of my guests do it. Well, the sharps and the square, that's square and the sharps. Like, whatever, man. You look at the NFL the last couple of years, big man. Look at the NFL.
What I think of that. So.
Yeah. Look at the NFL the last couple of years. Look at the guy that won the Vegas Super Contest.
Worked at Starbucks.
What was your strategy? Yeah. I don't know. I bet on the good teams and I bet against the bad teams. That was his strategy.
Exactly.
He said, I don't know. He's like, Cleveland never seemed to cover, so I bet against them every week.
And the guy in second place was like, a farmer or something.
Yeah. Like, it was something. And he's like, yeah, it was Dak Prescott's rookie. He's like, that Dak Prescott guy kept killing it every week. And, you know, I just rode that. And like you said, you got all the other guys crunching numbers, selling picks, mocking, oh, square pick. I would never lay 10 points in a football game. It's like, yeah, well.
I would never bet on the Browns every week.
Yeah, you hear that. You know the deal, big man. You know the deal. So the total 137 in this game should get there. Or do you think it's going to be right around that number tonight?
Here's the question, Gabe. I think if you like LAU, I think the game has to go over because LAU is going to have to score the basketball. If you like the under, I think you're going to correlate and say that Radford will win because Radford's goal in this game is going to limit possessions. They basically want you as a defense, or they're on defense, they want you to basically use up 10, 14 seconds of the shot clock before you get into your set, and before you know it, you're putting up a bad shot. That's their goal on defense. But I think LAU's good enough against the press to be able to handle that, and they've had some time to prepare here, I think.
It's a low enough number, Cam. I'm going to go over the
numbers. It should be able to get over 137. Let's talk about the sexy game there, big man. St. Bonaventure and UCLA. The Bonnies struggling down the stretch. They're dealing with some injuries. And, hey, UCLA a little bit of underachieving. 154.5 and UCLA -3. Gabe and I were talking. It almost feels kind of like a trap line situation there. I don't know. UCLA has better athletes, but St. Bonaventure is going to work harder, big man.
Yeah, they're definitely going to work hard. And they're Mobley and Adams are really good. They're really good guards. But the problem, Cam, that I have with this Bonaventure team is, first of all, they play in a poor conference. The A-10 was not good this year. Second of all, I don't know if they have a third scoring option. If Courtney Stocker doesn't play, I think they're going to have a lot of trouble.
They're screwed if he doesn't play. They're screwed.
They don't have it. He's their third scoring option. He was very good down the stretch for them. And you also got to keep in mind, they don't have much on the block. Their front court is pretty weak, and I think that's one way. Welsh, Goleman, Chris Wilkes, all those guys, they should have pretty big games. And I think their guard play is good enough to definitely handle Mobley and Adams. I just think it's an athleticism kind of thing here. They'll try to keep him in it. I think for St. Bonaventure to win, they're going to have to score 50 points combined or more. I don't know they have enough to – I mean, UCLA is really talented. They could be a team that could win a game – or two or three, just because if you get Florida in the next round, I think they're beatable, Florida, if you're UCLA. They've had a trying year, but I think it's kind of gotten all together here for them now, and I think they'll beat Bonaventure in cover. I think they'll win by 7 to 10 points.
It's tough to find information on it's funny, me and Cam were looking up earlier. I'm like, what's the local newspaper for St. Bonaventure?
Alamegi.
Yeah, Alamegi. Yeah, 2,000 people, but they get a little coverage in Buffalo. But it looks like Stockard's going to play, but they will be without their second-leading rebounder tonight. That's one deal. They got a little bit beat up. I just think the talent gap is going to be a little bit too much tonight for these guys.
Keep in mind, guys, there's a paper in Olean, which is where this school is, Olean, New York. It's called the Olean Times-Herald. They actually focus solely on St. Bonaventure just because it is the only thing. And they do Bill stuff as well. But their paper saying that Stockard is uncertain. So I think obviously this is what's great about Twitter now. I mean, you can find this stuff. If he plays, you got to hope he can give you something. But in these kind of games, he might just be rushing back.
I can't remember my parents' anniversary, but we remember St. Bonaventure's in Olean. Like, unbelievable. It's ridiculous. Gabe and I were talking about, like, these small schools. Like, yeah, that's where it is, Olean. Yeah, we were looking for some information. Good stuff there, big man. I don't know. This line just is screaming out to me, though. There's just something weird about it. When I see weird stuff, I got to get over it. Just take the better team. But I think UCLA should be favored by maybe, like, 5.5 or 6 in this basketball game, not 3.
Yeah, no, you're definitely on it. I think you're definitely right in that aspect. I mean, it is a bit of a low number, but, they opened this number at like 2.5, 3. I guess it's, the fact that maybe books don't trust UCLA. Obviously, recently by St. Bonaventure played well, but we have to remember this was not a good conference. Other than, basically Rhode Island, I mean, what did you really have in this conference? Dayton was bad this year. St. Joe's was down. LaSalle was down. I mean, this was a pretty bad conference overall.
So speaking of which, Rhode Island and Oklahoma is the first game up on Thursday morning. Oklahoma shouldn't be in this tournament. Rhode Island, I don't like how they played down the stretch. I don't know if they were tired. I don't know how much of a distraction it is, this Hurley stuff, that he's going to leave. I got to believe that Hurley's good enough that he can suck this up. I think they were just a little tired. They weren't desperate. The desperation wasn't there, and they were playing against a lot of desperate basketball teams as well. But I didn't like that loss that they had. You know, without being stated, they're two-point favorites against Oklahoma, a one-man operation. And the thing with Trae Young is he just keeps shooting. Like, if the shot's not falling, Cam, it's not like he's, oh, I'm going to take it to the rack and sort of, nope. And you know, get my confidence back.
Chuck, chuck, chuck.
Yeah, he keeps chucking it, and he gets down, and you can tell on his body language. You know, Rhode Island and all those guards just should be too much for Oklahoma, in my opinion, big man. I got to like the Rams here.
Yeah, this is one where I kind of want to go against common thinking. I mean, I think most of the public better out there will look back and think that because Oklahoma barely got in, they won't cover the number because of that. That has nothing to do with the actual tournament itself. Do I think they're lucky to get in? Yeah, of course I do.
But
I
we can't discount the fact that they are like 4-11 in their last 15 games. Outright,
sure,
right?
Sure. Yeah. No, I guess, and you're totally right. I guess my whole thing on it would be kind of like, you know, when you have like a near death experience, you might, like, let's say you commit a murder and you get off. You're probably going to be a little bit more inclined to not do anything stupid again. So you don't.
Well, I don't know. What about OJ?
I think he might be inclined to murder again.
Yeah, what about OJ? He got off with murder and went to start.
OJ's obviously an odd
example.
Sure.
Yeah,
that was a tough one.
but remember, it wasn't him. It was that Charlie guy or whatever the guy's name is.
Charlie.
Whatever that guy's name was. But, yeah, overall, I do think you're right in a way. But it's hard for me just because I do think a lot of the betting public will be on Rhode Island. You're right. He didn't play well down the stretch. They had issues defensively. There was a lack of seemingly they didn't care in that 8-10 tournament. I thought once they kind of almost lost in the semis, I thought they'd kind of really get it going in the finals, and they still struggled in that game.
Yeah,
I don't know.
A break.
Trae Young could go off. I'll pass. It's kind of a pass for me.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Hey now, level two continues. Yep. Game time decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio. The Tony Sincata will join us.
Huge DFS slate tonight.
Yeah,
huge.
Massive. Cam got some golf.
Golf.
NHL. NBA.
NBA. NHL. Everything.
We're loaded.
We have more breaking news in the NFL. The Patriots have signed NFL referee Carl Paganelli to a 3-year contract worth a reported $12 million. And
that's so good. I love this guy. He's the best.
Yeah, and NFL. He was the guy with the NFL memes. NFL memes on Twitter is just killing it.
He's the guy with the Sam Bradford ambulance too. He's on fire.
Patriots signed NFL referee Carl Paganelli, big man, to a 3-year deal. Yeah, now that you know Ed Hockley, they need to replace Ed Hockley, big man.
Advisor to Bill Belichick as well, so interesting move there. I didn't see it coming.
All right, let's jump into some of these other games. We talked about the first game up off the board. What catches your eye in the early games out of the gate? We've got Oklahoma, Rhode Island, Wright State, and Tennessee. Totals 132 in that game. Might be a little bit low. Greensboro and the Zags, that one's 12.5. Kansas and Penn, remember in the old days, big man, you know, the one seeds used to be like 34-point favorites. This is actually the second lowest one seed favorite in the history of the tournament. I believe it was Oral Roberts got 12 against Memphis in like 2012, I think it was. So only 14 there, Kansas and Penn, total 146. Duke lays 19.5 to Iona. I know, Cam, you're just you want to do it. I know you want to take the Gales, buddy.
I don't know, though. It's tough. We talked about impulse control. Yeah. We're going to be in Vegas, too. Oh, look at all those points.
Loyola, Chicago, and Miami's a trendy game that a lot of the hipsters seem to be on the on Loyola, Chicago. So where do you want to start, big man? What catches your eye in the early slate here?
Yeah, I got a couple here. The Iona-Duke game, I think this total looks a little too low. I think with Duke, Begley should have a field day down low. There's nothing much down in that front court for Iona. And if you notice, they seem to always get very tough matchups, as they did last year against Oregon. They got completely run out of the gym. I think they should have some success, though, scoring as well. As we know, Duke not a particularly good defensive team. Iona loves to go quick. It's not like they can slow down here. They're going to almost have to kind of score with Duke. They're kind of like a team in soccer where you might try to sit up defensively and maybe not allow a goal. They're going to have to go for it. They can't sit back and try to defend because Duke will pick them apart. I think the over looks pretty good here. As far as Loyola, Miami, I think it is a trendy pick, but I got to tell you, Gabe, I've said since they really won the Missouri Valley, they just remind me of a typical Missouri Valley team. They look a lot like the old Butler team with Brad Stevens at the helm, that team that went to the national title game. I'm not saying they're going to do that, but this is a very efficient basketball team with a star in Clayton Custer. They're also very good defensively. And you got to remember, this conference produced Creighton. It produced Butler. It's produced Wichita. It's produced Northern Iowa. This might be the next big thing out in the Missouri Valley. Porter Moses, a young coach, a lot like Stevens was, and Greg Marshall, and you know all those guys. I like this team. They're really efficient on both sides of the ball. And the problem that I have with Miami is, since Bryce Brown went out, they don't have a guard that I trust. Jaquan Newton's been up and down this season. I like Lonnie Walker, but he's kind of a tweener three. Yeah. Is he ready for a load like this?
They do play good defense.
They do.
They're tough kids.
I just don't
think
it's a great matchup.
Larinaga's been here, done this before. We know Cam. He's had success. Remember with George Mason in the past?
Exactly. They went deep.
Larinaga's a good tournament coach. We'll let Cam fire off some games to you. But one game I just want to throw out there, I don't even know when it is. I think it might even be on Friday. But that Texas-Nevada game is an interesting one, isn't it? That's a tough matchup right there.
Yeah, it's on Friday. It's basically a coin flip. But I got to be honest, I don't know that it's for me as difficult as you might think.
Mohamed
Bama's back.
Yeah, I like Texas.
I do too.
I
do too. Bama's back.
I just said that, big man, because I didn't want you to think I was jumping on a pick. So I threw it out there.
No, I agree with you here, Gabe, and I know you wouldn't do that. You're not that kind of guy. But Bama's back. I think he's an athletic nightmare for Nevada. Nevada has some great players, but I'm not sure they have anyone to match up with him. And they don't have a point guard, Nevada. Their point guard's out for the year with an injury. That's a concern as well. You know, I like Shaka Smart. He's continuing to build at that program. They've done it with injuries. They've done it with a kid with cancer. I think they'll beat Nevada. Nevada just kind of showed their weaknesses against San Diego State. And I think Bob will have a big game, and no point guard will hurt there.
Shaka Smart, wherever the guy's just wicked. Whatever he works with, the guy turns to gold. He's just so good at what he does. Speaking of San Diego State, I was telling Gabe about the Aztecs getting four against Houston. I know the Cougars are a very dangerous team. Tight game against Cincinnati, but I don't know. Getting four with the Aztecs seems to be jumping out at me. What do you think, big man?
I have a tough time with that, Cam, just because I do wonder, are the Aztecs going to continue to shoot like they did that Mountain West tournament? They really kind of hit their stride. They're kind of a weird team because they look so poor at times this year, and then they just kind of got it going in the conference title game and in the semifinal. I don't know. I don't trust that they'll be able to shoot as good. Houston is really athletic and really good. I think they can
that
win
Gray
a game
kid's
or two.
Pretty good, man. That great point guard kid's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, big man, you're right about San Diego State. Yeah, the thing is, and it's pissed me off, because I'm actually a closet Aztec fan.
Yeah, I usually cheer for him, too.
You know, and of course, you know, I'm a Fisher guy, and Dutcher there is, you know, he was with the Fab Five, et cetera. Something to keep your eye on, too, if you can get some of that tournament magic going. But it just sort of pissed me off, because I'm with you, big man. I never really believe in them. I'm like, yeah, they're one of those wiry, rangy teams. They can't really shoot. You know, they go through these funks where they can't score. But we can't deny they're like 9-1 against the spread in their last 10, and I've left them on the freaking table a lot, big man. It's starting to piss me off.
And that's the thing this year. They've really kind of transformed into a real good offensive team. With Dutcher coming in, they've sped up the tempo. They're not ever since Kawhi Leonard left, they struggled to score. They were just at half court, 58-point-a-game defensive team. But, yeah, I just wonder if that shooting can continue. That's a bit of a concern for me, but – you know, look, Rob Gray's good. I saw Houston live a couple weeks ago, and they, over the last 2 months of the season, they just were just battering teams. I mean, just really, really solid. And Kelvin Sampson's done a great job. I don't want to go forward here. Could be a little tired. I hate those teams, Gabe, that I've often said this. One thing to look for, try to stay away from teams that make a run in their conference tournament and lose in the final. That's a tough spot. And you look the way Houston lost. It wasn't particularly good either.
Well, that referee should be ashamed of himself to decide that game like that. That was disgusting. It's an obvious pick. And I know, listen, you know, no one's been a bigger fan of Mike Dom than you have all year, big man. And going back to last year as well. But they're getting 8. And I know it's a trendy pick. I got to be honest with you. I'm actually surprised there's not more people jumping on this. Because when people ask what I like, I was like, well, I'm not very original with this one, but give me the Jackrabbits plus the 8.
Jackrabbits.
But I'm surprised. You know, not everyone's running to the window to bet this, big man. The line's not plummeting. It was 8.5. It came to 8. What do you make of this one?
And I got to tell you, I'm not either. I love Mike Dom. There's no one in the country that's pushed him more than I have. I think he's a gem. He's done things that not many people have been able to ever do at this level. And he's done it in a fairly quick manner, but I just don't see it here. I don't see South Dakota State. We've kind of put them on some pedestal that they're good and they win all the time. They don't win. They've went to the tournament and lost both times over the last 6-7 years. The conference they play in is incredibly bad defensively. You look at the step-up games this year they played, they got absolutely worked in those games. Ohio State is really athletic, and Bates Diop is a lot different than facing Oral Roberts and Western Illinois on a regular basis. I think this game a lot like Virginia, UNC Wilmington last year. I think a lot of people, if I can remember correctly, jumped on Wilmington at 7-8, and I think they ended up losing by double digits. So I look at that one. I think Ohio State will advance. Could I see a cover? Dom's that good. He can keep them in it. He's going to have to drop 35, though, I think.
Hey, big man.
I like the over in that game. Like,
lots of points?
Yeah, there's going to be points in that game.
An intriguing game, Gabe. You're NC State and Seton Hall.
Fun game.
Yeah, it should be a fun game. But team NC State kind of disappointed in the tournament. Seton Hall, you never know what you're going to get with these guys.
Seton Hall have three guys, Cam. Three guys that are going to be in the tournament for the third consecutive year.
That's a huge advantage. And what are they laying, 2.5?
I think it comes into play. For the record, big man, I'm on the Pirates in this game. What's your take?
No, there's probably not a team I like more in the country than Seton Hall. I mean, other than Temple, which I root for them. But I love Seton Hall. I love this team. I've loved them for 2-3 years now. I think they're going to make a run.
Of course you love them, big man. They're a bunch of, like, hot-headed brothers and Puerto Ricans from the Bronx. That's why I like them, too. Like, it's their strength and it's their weakness.
True.
Because remember, big man, a couple of years ago, I remember even saying, watching, I was like, man, if you kids would stop fighting with each other and pointing fingers and sort of imploding like a streetball team, you could be good. And they have. And they're the type of kids like Desi Rodriguez and stuff, type of kids, they're going to step up in big moments. And this is a big moment.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, Carrington's from Brooklyn. Desi Rodriguez from the Bronx. I think, you know, Delgado's from, you know, North Jersey. I mean, it's just a gritty team. I mean, you got to root for guys like that. I like them. I think if Azubuike is out for Kansas long term, I think they could beat Kansas in the second round.
Ooh.
I'm very high on Seton Hall. I think they're, like you said, they're a veteran team. They need Desi Rodriguez back, though. He's been injured. I think he'll be back. They face a lot of up-tempo styles, so NC State's not going to be a surprise. I like Kevin Keats. These are two real good coaches here, and Keats has done a great job at NC State, but that whole senior-laden thing, that's something I really like. And we know this team plays in big games, man, all the time, Seton Hall, at the Garden, all these different places.
Exactly.
They're not gonna get scared about this opportunity.
So you're saying if this bracket was mixed martial arts or boxing, we're all over the Pirates then?
How can you not like a team that has a guy named Sandro Mamukelishvili? How can you not like a guy like that? Tbilisi, Georgia. That's a great place to be from.
I guess our local team is the Buffalo Bulls.
Bulls, yeah, the Bulls. That's our proximity to the Mercy Studios here.
Yeah, that's right. Like the Buffalo Bulls, and that's like the local TV coverage as well. The Buffalo Bulls party, and it's too bad for Buffalo because
they're a good team.
You talk about a team with a bunch of big dudes that can push the tempo and athletic guys. Buffalo's done a great job getting athletes there. They weren't this athletic in the past. You brought it up earlier, Cam, to me about just it's too bad for – it's just sort of a tough matchup for them against Arizona.
Exactly. I want to take them.
But Buffalo's playing with house money, and they're just going to bomb away in this game. What do you make of this one with Zona laying 8.5?
Yeah, they've done a real nice job up there. You're totally right. And I think I'm more or less looking at the total in this game. I think the over looks pretty good here. I'm not sure that anyone in the country right now can stop Ayton. They shouldn't have any trouble scoring here. Buffalo's not exactly a defensive team. And Buffalo goes very fast. I think they're 17th in tempo in the country. The one concern that I have with Arizona in this tournament is their inability to guard dribble penetration, though they've done pretty well with it lately. But these kids in Buffalo, they like to attack the basketball into the lane and score, you know, down the lane. That could be something that they'll struggle with. If you look back to early in the season, that was one of Arizona's issues. I'm looking towards a higher scoring game here. Again, it's just a tough matchup. Kent State actually got, I believe, Arizona last year as well. So the MAC has gotten these two teams a couple times, and it's just a tough matchup. But I'd like the over more than the side here.
For the record, Sevilla is final right now, 2-1 over Man U.
Oh,
yeah. What a disgrace. I've had it with United. I have had it. I hate that team. What a bunch of wankers. I hate that team.
Wankers.
Roma 1-0 over Shakhtar. 1-0.
Nice up.
Is it 1-0? Is the game going to extra time, Gabe?
Full time.
I'm sitting, listen to this, and it's aggregate 1-1 now. It's going to extra time. I'm sitting on Roma to win in penalties at 41.
Whoa. At 41?
Come
on. Oh, my
God. Come on.
Good thing you're getting off the air with us in 3 minutes so you can figure out a little hedge situation.
Hedge.
If you want.
I think I'll just...
We didn't talk about Gabe. I was going to ask Big Man about Davidson in Kentucky. Like on the Thursday slate, that's like a huge game. Davidson wins their conference tournament.
Brought that up. That's another 12-5. So everyone talks about these 12-5 upsets all the time. 24-12 against the spread since 2009, the 12 versus 5.
Yep.
That's a 12-5 game. South Dakota, Ohio State's a 12-5 game. Murray State.
The Racers.
Murray State and West Virginia's 12-5. And a Davidson, Kentucky. What's your take on Davidson in Kentucky?
I think it's always going to be a tough matchup. I don't think Kentucky will lose. They need to come into this game. This is just the kind of opponent that could screw Kentucky up. I mean, they're well aware of the athleticism here. I think they're pretty athletic in general, though, with Aldridge. They've really improved defensively this year. And they're, again, Bob McKillop's teams are generally not afraid of these big teams. They're a real good mid-major. I don't have a lot of on Kentucky right now. I think they're head-wise in a weird spot. It's a tough bracket. Their coach is obviously pissed off about it. They got to travel pretty far. It could be a tough game, but I think they'll find a way to win. In a bracket, I'm taking Kentucky. But as far as getting on this game, it's just too much for me. I'm passing.
Yeah, they almost pissed it away against Tennessee, but they ended up getting it done. And that Davidson-Rhode Island game was a nail-biter.
How many times was Kentucky up 15 points and blew it? I mean, they were up like 3 different times.
That's what scares me about Kentucky.
I told Cam earlier, you bet on Kentucky or Davidson, you're going to be sweating it out on either way. It's going to be one of those games. Yeah. It's going to be one of those games. What's that? You love who?
I do. I love my – this is my team of the tournament, New Mexico State University.
Wait, yay, Aggies!
You call an upset outright against Clemson?
Clemson is gutless, and Brad Brunell is – if you could ask me one coach I want nowhere near this tournament, it's that complete hack. I want nothing to do with Brad Brunell. And his team is gutless. They're without their best player. New Mexico State, to me, Gabe, is a top five defensive team in this tournament. They are really, really good. They're well coached. Zach Lofton's come in from Texas Southern. He's done a great job. They have a kid game named Jamario James. 14 rebounds a game. He's one of the best in the country. They hit the glass hard. They'll keep it in half court. Clemson's going to be shocked. They cover. They win. Give me the Aggies.
Aggies. Music's playing. We got to get out of here. Big man, great stuff as always, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
Check out that Big Man on Campus at Jeff Nadeau or Big Man on Campus on Twitter. Cincata's peeping. He's lurking.
Uh-oh.
Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio continues. Excellent stuff with Big Man on Campus, as expected, as we talk.
I like he likes the Aggies, buddy. Go Aggies!
He's fine, too. He's not a big
You're
Clemson
fun
fan.
You're making my New Mexico. Every time I go to Vegas, I told you, I always meet nice people from New Mexico State.
Cam's looking to lay it down on the
Aggies.
Aggies.
The Aggies have been good to me. Are you an Aggie? That was the time I was at the blackjack table, but I was Texas A&M. I sit down at the table. I'm wearing a Texas A&M t-shirt that I bought at Stephen Berry's for like $4. Texas Longhorn, 500 pounds. Remember that guy, Morez? I'm a Longhorn. You're an Aggie. I don't like you. Remember that? And then I saw one guy with Michigan. One dealer's like, hi, I'm from Michigan, you know? And he had, like, under his dealer shirt, like, the Michigan Wolverines. And dude was dressed out in Buckeye gear. He was yelling at that dealer a hell of a lot more. People really take it seriously.
You'll see all the
school
dealers.
School allegiance.
Cam, you're going to see most of the dealers and stuff in some of the casinos. They'll have different, like, school jerseys.
Exactly,
on, right?
Exactly.
Sort of like NFL Sunday.
Yep.
NFL Sunday at a Vegas casino, like, they have, like, all 32 teams. So, like, one blackjack dealer would be Charger jersey, Raider jersey. And they sort of, if you're a fan of the team,
yeah,
you're like,
you want to sit down there.
Yeah, you're going to go play with the guy in the Bills jersey.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, well, what's up? You know, it's got, like, blessing. Hey, what's up, buddy? All right, LeBron James, a four-time NBA MVP. Mike Trout is a two-time AL MVP. Well, you're never going to be an MVP of a major professional sports league. You can save someone's life and become an MVP by going to DKMS.org, FNTSY. That's at DKMS.org. We talk a lot about these guys. They do great work. You can learn what you can do to help. 6 out of every 10 patients will not receive a bone marrow transplant. We want to change that, and it all starts with you. DKMS.org, FNTSY. You can register to become a bone marrow donor. It only takes 1 minute. You can sign up online, DKMS, and they're going to send you a swab kit. That's what I did for, like, my ancestry, and it turns out I'm 0.9% Nigerian. You swab your cheeks, and you send it back to DKMS, and that's it. It's that easy. Please check out DKMS.org, FNTSY, and join. There's more than 950,000 others that have signed up to be bone marrow donors. DKMS, great stuff. They sponsored that great college basketball preview that we did yesterday. Great job by the boys in Master Control. And what, you were unaware, Cam?
Sorry, you're reading the promo. I'm just like 0.9.
You like how I casually
said, yeah, I'm 0.9% Nigerian. Sorry. I thought we were German. No, I thought we were Scottish. Now we're dancing in the German band.
Yeah,
like, get lost, Merker.
I did the My Ancestry thing.
So you had a little bit 0.9% there, Nigerian. Fantastic. I want to do the Ancestry thing now. It sounds pretty cool.
59% Welsh, Scottish, and Irish.
Yeah,
let's bring in the Tony Cincata. Yes. What's up, Tony?
You know what? Now I'm on the New Mexico Lobos plus the 4.5. I mean,
New Mexico State.
The Aggies,
oh, yeah,
Tony. The Aggies.
Yes, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. Yeah. When you call your bookie there, Tony.
That's true, because you know what? It's like playing Bogdanovich in DFS. You got to
make sure you
get the right one.
Good call.
Yeah. Now, what the hell? What's going on, Tony? See, you got a lot of stuff going.
Are you at a slot machine?
What's going on behind you?
That was a text.
Oh, text. Oh,
a text
okay,
said thought... It said you're welcome.
Oh, that your shrimp tempura was ready, Tony. But
so the text just says, "What'd you do? You told a hooker you're coming over tonight." She's like, "You're welcome.
You're welcoming me already. That's amazing, right?" I wish it'd be funny if the hookers went after the restaurant industry and they had punch cards. Like on your sixth visit, you got a free one.
Yeah, like the Slice Club.
Yeah, I think that would be cool. Like I think
whenever they give me those things, everywhere I go. I'm always like, yeah, whatever, man. I'm not going to come back to this dime.
And then I do.
And I'm thinking, man, I could have got that free meal like 2 years ago.
Yeah. So, but I think if it was a prostitution thing, I think we would keep the card.
Or
I think it has
shop.
A little more than the Golden Corral buffet.
Yeah, for every 100 grams you buy, you get a free quarter or something. That'd be nice.
Well, you'd be stockpile.
So, Tony, over under on minutes before the New England Patriots sign Jordy Nelson.
Oh, you know, I was just looking at that. I was trying to see what's going on there. He fits right up their alley. I think that could be a good deal that will work for both of them. I was looking at a lot of Ndamukong Suh love for the Patriots Nation.
Oh, great.
Oh, God, they're going to pick
never
him.
Ends.
God, it's just...
so let's go through the signings. Quick rapid fire, your takes on them. Kirk Cousins, 3 years, $84 million, Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, best quarterback available.
Sam Bradford to the Arizona Cardinals.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. You know,
ambulance.
The guy, I mean, when he came back and played in that game after the injury, I felt bad for him. Like, I felt bad. And you guys were talking about all the money this guy's made in his career. I give him credit for trying to play, but I can't believe someone would pay him $20 million.
Well, I'd try to play, too, if I had $180 million.
And he always seems to get the money. He's got a great agent. Marinci said it. Like, this guy agent. Is sharp, man.
His career earnings... Regardless, I don't know. It's tough because he never lives out these contracts with anybody.
He's made a lot of bread.
Yeah, he's made a lot of money over the
just
years.
Tons and tons and tons.
He can get some cows in Oklahoma.
He was getting $18 million a year from Philadelphia. So, look, he gets hurt. And, like, he falls, like, upwards all the time.
I know.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's
you get hurt and you make more
instead
money.
Instead of them saying, listen, we like you and we can't pay you 18 or 20 because you always get hurt, you know, take a chance and, you know, we'll give you 12 or 13. Teams are like, yeah, we like you so much. We're going to give you this and, we're going to give you that. So, in other words, I think long story short with Sam Bradford going to Arizona that Drew Stanton's the quarterback next year in Arizona again. That's the long story short.
You know what? That's actually a good take. I think they're going to be one of the teams interested in taking a quarterback. In the draft, we'll see how early they jump in. Where it's Sam Bradford, a one-year contract, you would think automatically that sets up they're going to try to make a move on draft day.
So for fantasy purposes, though, guys, Kirk Cousins, you know, doesn't hurt Diggs,
no.
Doesn't hurt Thielen, right?
No, it doesn't.
You're going to have Dalvin Cook coming back out of the backfield as well. Maybe that cuts into them a little bit. But as a whole, from a fantasy perspective, what's your take, Tony?
I think Kirk Cousins gets an upgrade because I think that Minnesota, you get the two reliable wide receivers there. You got a capable tight end in Kyle Rudolph. Not sure on who the pass-catching back is going to be out of the backfield. Jerick McKinnon, of course, is free agent. I'm liking this for Kirk Cousins' situation because I think Stephon Diggs hasn't stayed healthy yet. And if he does stay healthy, we're talking about two top 10 fantasy wide receivers on the same team.
What about Case Keenum in Denver, Tony? I think I was giving Gabe my opinion. I think he's going to have a slight regression. What's your take?
I think a slight regression, but not totally, because you've got to remember, Demaryius Thomas is a guy that was at one time, right, a top 10 wide receiver easily, top 5 wide receiver.
Will this be enough to make Thomas want to stay because he's got the option to leave, and he was basically waiting to see what happened to the quarterback?
Yeah. I think it does. I think he stays, and I think that, you know, it'd be really interesting to see if unless he gets an offer from one of these big teams. I mean, you see money getting thrown around for Allen Robinson and Sammy Watkins. That's going to make him leave more than anything else.
Sammy Watkins goes to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Ooh. Sammy Watkins to the Kansas City Chiefs. A lot of speed there, though, now,
that's,
right?
That's the thing. You got Hill. He's the fastest guy in the league. Sammy's actually a good fit for them now. They can do a lot of things, man. That's very
interesting. Why do you say he's a good fit? Because here's my perception of Sammy Watkins. And you guys, you're a Buffalo Bills fan, so you know you've seen him play. I've never seen him run a pass route in my life. I've seen him go straight down the field, and that's all he does. There's a lot of people that think that he could be an unbelievable slot wide receiver, much to their Jarvis Landry school, but he hasn't played that position. So all of a sudden, Kansas City's got a rookie quarterback and two guys that run straight down the field. I think it's a disaster.
You know, Sammy Watkins not being used in the slot is
stupid.
Is one of the biggest mysteries to me. It's like the popularity of that Jake Paul guy on YouTube or whatever the hell his name is. And what I don't understand, Tony, and I've talked about this immensely over the years, the Buffalo Bills, as you stated, they turn him into a down-the-field vertical threat. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. You know who did that at Clemson? DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep. Yeah.
Sammy Watkins was a slot receiver in college. His go-to bread and butter was a bubble screen. He's a basically yards after the catch guy, bubble screen, quick hitch. he's not a big, tall guy. So you have him running down the field trying to play jump ball with these big DBs. And, yeah, he's fast, so he's going to get open sometimes. That's not his game. I've never understood. I swear to God, I've seen him in 3 years he with the Buffalo Bills. I think they ran one reverse with him. They did it once, and it picked up like 13 yards, and it never did it again. They never set up a wildcat. They never gave him a pitch in the backfield. They never did a bubble screen. They never did a quick hit. It was always you run fast, run down the field. And as you stated, he's not Willie Gault, dude. You know what I mean? We're not talking about, you know, it was the stupidest misuse of this guy. And I think Kansas City will understand that. They don't really have that deep down the field game. I really hope they're not thinking, oh, yeah, we're going to send him deep.
That's what Tyreek Hill does. He's the burner that can go down there, and Sammy could come inside and make some plays.
They have Mahomes, so who knows if Mahomes is going to be able to get him the football.
That's one problem. And secondly, in that Kansas City offense, right, we've seen the tight end. We've seen Tyreek Hill. We saw Jerry Macklin a little. But we've never seen him use a slot wide receiver. So this is going to be something new if they go this route. And then Watkins, right, goes to the Rams. The Rams trade for this guy, bring him in, and then they draft a slot wide receiver. So I don't know what the hell's going on with this kid.
And you know what's crazy? Sammy Watkins is a star in Buffalo. Robert Woods is sort of the possession guy.
Exactly.
They both go to the same team in the Rams, and Robert Woods becomes the star.
Yeah.
Very, very strange.
Very strange.
I love what the Rams have done on the defensive side of the football.
Me too.
So offensively, they lose Watkins right now, Tony. I imagine the Rams will probably draft a wide receiver right now.
Yep.
So you've got, you know, because honestly, I almost feel like Robert Woods is overachieving a little bit. So, I mean, they're an elite football team. They raised the level of their defense.
Cooper Kupp's good.
Yeah, but is that enough, Cam?
No, they need another receiver.
Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods.
It's not enough.
If you're ranking wide receiver pairings, Tony, that's not elite. You know what I'm saying?
No, especially with Kupp playing out of the slot. It's sort of like the slot. You still need another wide receiver on the other side to go down. But I'm going to tell you about Robert Woods. Robert Woods was a kid that shocked me because he was playing really well. Then he got injured, and I said, oh, that's the end of Robert Woods. We'll never hear about this guy again. And then he came back, and he played well again, and they went to him again. I just wonder if this is a kid with more talent than we give him credit for.
I think Robert Woods is pretty good. I don't know. I'm with you guys. I think Kansas City is going to figure it out, though. I really think Sammy Watkins needed a change of scenery. It didn't feel like he was a right fit with the Rams.
He should have went to Houston. He should have went with DeAndre Hopkins.
They had
Will Fuller on one side, DeAndre Hopkins on the other. You bring Watkins out of the slot. Oh, my God.
Doesn't mean Houston wanted Watkins because Watkins did want to go to Houston.
Yeah.
Malcolm Butler. Malcolm Butler is...
this is the funniest story ever.
He's leaving 5 years, $61 million deal. Butler's, of course, he's the dude that had the interception in the Super Bowl years ago. And then was benched. And then was always in the doghouse, sort of in and out. There was always rumors of, you know, look, they traded for Gilmore. There was always that Sherman thing. And then, of course, in the Super Bowl, he was benched. So Butler's now a Tennessee Titan. Not a bad backfield right now with Logan Ryan back there.
But here's the crazy thing, right? The Titans coach is Mike Vrabel, right? So that's a former Belichick guy. The other team that was involved there was the Detroit Lions. Matt Patricia, he was the defensive coordinator when they benched this guy during the Super Bowl. So basically, they both said, hey, this guy can play in F Belichick in his ways here. This is interesting. That didn't get Eric Mangini far in the league.
Well, Malcolm Butler didn't snitch, right? Nah. That's the difference. Yeah.
Didn't snitch.
Doesn't matter what business it is. No one likes a snitch.
Snitches get stitches.
Yeah, no one likes a snitch. Jimmy Graham. How much football does Jimmy Graham have?
Zero. What do you think?
Well, you're not buying into this. Like, oh, he's going to light it up with Aaron Rodgers.
First of all, Green Bay's never feeds to the tight end until they get around the goal line, right? They've always been a wide receiver offense. They'll throw a little out of backs. The tight end hasn't been there, and they've had quality tight ends there. So I don't see it. I think Jimmy Graham's done, and I'm surprised by this signing as well.
Interesting. I don't know what the hell Seattle's doing. They're getting rid of all – anyway, Tony, they're getting rid of all their players. What have they done to stock up? They've done nothing. Like, I don't understand what these guys are doing. They're still a good football team. They're losing everybody. It's nuts.
Amendola. So the Dolphins lose Jarvis Landry. They bring in Danny Amendola. I would expect that Jordy Nelson will be brought in to replace Amendola in New England. But what's your take on Amendola? with Amendola. The Miami Dolphins. Hypothetically, with Tannehill, a quarterback.
Yeah, so Amendola, this is the funniest thing ever. He took a pay cut the last two seasons to stay with New England, and it got to a point where he realizes, you know what, it's the end of career, I got to cash in. He'll be on the IR about week three, and the Dolphins would have paid him. And he'll still be remembered as a Patriot. He'll be able to come back. He'll get a couple $100,000 to make a couple appearances and shake people's hands in the Blackhawks, and the Dolphins just paid his retirement. I mean, that's all it is. He's not going to do anything in that office. Why would they bring him in? Like, I wonder what the expectations are.
He's 32.
He's 32. He hasn't been able to stay on the field, and they got some decent wideouts there, dude, even with the loss of Jarvis Landry. Like, it makes no sense.
They don't know what the hell they're doing. They really don't.
The Dolphins are a train wreck.
No, they really don't. Like, great idea trading Jay Ajayi.
I know.
So, like, think about this, guys. The Dolphins have essentially gotten rid of their two best players, Tony, in the last 6 months. Jay Ajayi and Jarvis Landry.
Well, here, I can take it one step further there. Kenyon Drake played well, even though he played really well. Yet all they talk about is bringing in another running back. I'm like, what the hell was wrong with this kid? I mean, he put up 150 yards a game, and you want to go and get another running back. Like, it makes no sense. Devontae Parker now has the pressure on him to be a top five wide receiver.
Underachiever.
But I like the guy on the other side, Kenny Stills, right? And so they bring Danny Amendola, who'll be the third wide receiver. He'll play out of the slot, and he'll do well there. But this offense is going to be in
They're not shape. Scaring anybody.
I don't this trust coach. Them to make the right decision. Adam Gase, he's an egomaniac. He reminds me, he's like a little Josh McDaniels. He thinks he's hot shit when he's really just, you know. It's like, dude, you make a lot of. And it wouldn't shock me if they drafted like Baker Mayfield and did something stupid, actually. All right, music's playing. Talk some DFS. A lot of stuff in on the other side. Camp got some golf for us because we're not going to be here tomorrow at 6, Tony.
I've got it too, and I'm gonna get winners, man. I got winners coming out of my
anus. Of course you do. You can't not wake up early. You can't go to sleep. Can't go to sleep to beat Cicada. I don't want to hear about your anus.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.